The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Reverend Alistair Begg is with us. Alistair Begg is the senior pastor of Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio, Bible teacher on Truth for Life. And Alistair has a brand new book out called Brave by Faith, God-sized confidence in a post-Christian world. I'm holding it up right now. If you're streaming, you can see it. And Alistair, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. Thanks for the chance to chat.
Mm-hmm. And if you're watching on Facebook Live on 101.5 Word FM on Facebook or The Ride Home with John and Kathy, you can see Alistair's face here. I said to him when he joined us on the air that it doesn't look much like Cleveland behind him, but he says it's Edinburgh Castle, which is a much nicer, you know, development than you might see in either your city or ours. Yeah, Alistair.
Yeah. Good catch.
Yeah. Okay. Alistair, you know, things have changed for Christians in America over the last, I don't know, I'd say 20 years. And so I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's certainly challenging. Talk to us about how you see things.
Well, I think your observation is accurate. We'd have to be a blind person not to see that, and also to feel, if you like, the winds of change have blown, not in our favor, but actually against us. Not in an overt way where people are coming out and saying, you know, I don't believe in Jesus and I don't believe in the Bible, but where the Bible intersects with life and with the culture, it's clear that what the Bible has to say about certain things is being radically opposed by folks who are influential both in the realm of politics and also in the realm particularly of education. And so the challenge is, you know, how do we navigate this? And I decided it's time for a little bravery. And if we're going to be brave, then we need to be brave by faith. So hence the title.
Yeah. And Alistair, that's a good point. I mean, I think probably years past, the general population may have been apathetic toward those with the Christian faith. Now it feels as though people are deeply antagonistic and we're feeling the heat. And, you know, in many ways, we've done this, I believe, to ourselves.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have certainly given a lot of ground away, perhaps naively, or have made certain assumptions about how things would be. And so we're caught off guard by realizing the intensity of things and also the speed with which a change has taken place. I mean, even in the events of the last 15 months, we could argue that it's been an exponential decline in relationship to all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Alistair, yeah, I know you've traveled a lot. John has traveled a lot as well, as have I. And being in different cultures, it just gives you a different perspective on how the church is treated in the society there and how people who believe in Jesus go about living their days. It gives you a different, larger perspective on what Christians can, quote unquote, expect in the world. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that is obvious to us is that we've enjoyed wonderful privileges and freedoms in America. There's been enough cultural goodwill for us to be able to largely go about our business and to say the things we want to say. When we've traveled, we've realized that that is not the general experience throughout the world. Right. And certainly when you think about nations like North Korea, or you think about places in Indonesia or Albania, or, you know, places like that, where it's hard to even imagine what it feels like to be a Christian when you're unable to gather with one another, when the things that you say are so diametrically opposed that you have to be guarded all of the time. And for the first time now, suddenly the Christian voice is going to be canceled because it no longer is acceptable to suggest that our biological sex determines our gender, or that marriage is a monogamous relationship between a man and a woman, or that the responsibilities and privileges of life are framed by a God who made us in his image, as opposed to we're our own person. We do our own thing. The autonomy of the self is supreme. We created the generation of the selfie, and now we're discovering what it's like to just believe yourself, trust yourself, worship yourself.
Right. I mean, years ago, the United States Army came up with a new slogan for themselves, and they ran with the slogan, an army of one. And you think, well, an army of one. I mean, that's not much of an army. Yeah. All right. They were selling that to, you know, a younger generation. But, you know, Alistair, in your new work, Brave by Faith, God-Sized Confidence in a Post-Christian World, you tell this story, which I think illustrates where we are. Can you tell the story about the head of the BBC, a Lord?
Sure.
Ruth? I mean,
yeah.
It's a great story. It illustrates where we are.
Yeah, well, that took place. The striking thing is, again, the seeds of what we're experiencing now were planted a long time ago. The fruit, or the ugly fruit, is there. The BBC was at the beginning very, very happy to make sure that equal time was given to people of faith and so on. And so even to this day, they have a program called Songs of Faith, and they would make time in the day, both in the radio and so on. Well, as younger people came through, they began to challenge that. And at a board meeting or one of the executive meetings, some young fellow said, you know, I think we've moved on beyond the faith thing now, and it's probably time for us just to give up on doing that. Nobody cares, nobody believes, and so on. Well, the chairman of the board was a fellow, as you say, called Lord Reith. He was a very tall man. He came from the Highlands of Scotland. And as the story goes, he stood up in the middle of the thing. And he said, young man, the church will stand at the grave of the BBC. And I think that sort of ended the conversation for the day. But that's actually what we believe. The church will stand at the grave of NBC and CBS and Fox News and every one of them. Otherwise, if it won't, then we're involved in one of the greatest religious contracts the world could ever see.
Reverend Alistair Begg is with us, general editor of the CSB Spurgeon Study Bible. He's also senior pastor of Parkside Church in Cleveland, and his newest book is called Brave by Faith, God-Sized Confidence in a Post-Christian World. Alistair, how, though, do we express confidence in the victorious future of the church without it sounding like, to this culture, that we're, you know, crazy people who, you know, want to take over?
Well, I think we are crazy people. And so, you know, most of my friends know that I'm crazy. So why would I deny that? It's okay to be crazy, but it's not okay to be mean or to be judgmental or unduly critical, or to become like, you know, Waldorf and Statler in the Muppets, you know, they just set up on
everything.
They're against everything. They just get increasingly cantankerous. So the way that we need to do it is, if we're going to engage with the culture, then we can't treat the culture as our enemies. Therefore, we have friends who don't believe as we believe. They're still our friends. They have views that we would not necessarily share, but it would be good for us to listen to them every so often before we start redirecting their thinking. And part of the problem now is that the ability to have dialogue, and you see this in the media, you see it in the last presidential election. I mean, if there's no common ground for conversation, then all you can do is shout at each other. And that's exactly what's happened now. So there's not really a dialogue. There's very little in the media where you have two sensible people who are diametrically opposed to one another having a conversation.
Yeah. Right.
So people are not thinking, they're just having their prejudices rearranged, both on the right and on the left, and is true in terms of religion.
So then what's our response? If we choose to be part of the church, the small church or the big capital C church, and try to live a holy life in Jesus' name, I mean, I want to give myself to the church. And I think of anything, you know, this past weird year of churches being closed, so to speak, or Zoom church, it made people who were faithful to the church hungry, wanting to really soak into that church. So now we've hit a reset button, perhaps church-wise, maybe culturally. Here's an opportunity to reset and maybe do things right and better in a way that we haven't done in the past.
Well, I agree with that entirely. And I think that's one of the, it's both the challenge and the opportunity that these days have created. You know, if my mentality in pastoring this church is simply to say our great objective is to restore the status quo in terms of this is how we did it, when in actual fact, when you have something that alters the way you do things, it provides a moment of opportunity to say maybe this wasn't the best way to do it in the first place. And so here we have the chance to rethink it. But it's the constant dilemma of being able to hold to a conviction in a way that is not arrogant just rotten. I mean, the fascinating thing about Daniel and his friends is they wouldn't deviate from course, but the people that opposed them because they were jealous of them, not because they could find a lot of things wrong with them. And part of the problem is that we may have concentrated very, very much on the idea of the integrity of our message and failed to recognize that a significant part of that is the integrity of the messenger, that there is an authenticity about our lives, that there is a genuine vulnerability about our lives that is prepared to acknowledge that apart from the grace of God, there's no saying how messed up we would be, so that our story is not, you know, we are triumphant and you ought to try and be triumphant as well. But no, the story is that we were going down a wrong road and Jesus turned us the right way around, and he'll do the same for you.
Amen. Amen. Alistair, just a couple minutes left. I just want to ask you in kind of an ancillary fashion, just to, I don't know, say a word to pastors out there. We've been having a lot of discussions on the show in the last couple of weeks, reading so many things on social media and blog sites about how many pastors are thinking of getting a new job. You know, the COVID era has been really hard, you know, a difficult election, racial unrest. A lot of people are opinionated about things, expressing themselves in a way that's different than what you just recommended. What do you have to say to pastors out there who are thinking, I got to like go work at Target?
Yeah. Well, I tell my wife that on Sunday nights.
Do you? Sure. Okay.
After I finish the services of the day, I go home and I say, you know, tomorrow I'm going to get a real job. And she used to be alarmed by that. Now she just says, oh, go to sleep. So I don't want to be dismissive of that. I'm in a privileged position in that I've got 12 colleagues around me. Mm-hmm. But I do know what it was like to be on my own in a pastorate where you go home by yourself. You've got your own thoughts. There's nobody to bounce it off. Yeah. So I want to be very sensitive to that and to those men. But I also want to say to them, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. If this is enough to chase us out of the pulpit, maybe we should be out of the pulpit. And I don't mean that in an unkind way. But, you know, Paul writes to Timothy and he says to him, listen, keep your head, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. And I say that to myself all the time, because there's good, there's bad, there's ugly. It's depressing. I mean, we had 4,000 people regularly with us on a Sunday, and you suddenly got, you know, you're struggling with 1,200 people. Well, where did the other 2,800 go? And are they coming back? I don't know. But if I only quantify things on the basis of a numerical framework, then I can give myself every reason for discouragement. But when I remember that Jesus said to his followers, he said, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yeah. And we may be going in for a big day of small things. All right. Well, then let's see if we can be brave enough to trust God when the wind is blowing right in our face. It's like, you know, sometimes in Scotland, you play a par three using a 9-iron. And on the very same distance on another day, you might have to hit a 3-wood because of the wind.
Alistair, thanks so much.
Still gotta play.
We need your voice. We need your wisdom, your strength. Thanks for being on the vanguard of this. Alistair Begg, senior pastor, Parkside Church, Bible teacher, Truth for Life, his brand new work, Brave by Faith, God-Sized Confidence in a Post-Christian World. Alistair Begg. Thanks, Alistair.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. My privilege.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.